Consider Master Morris, whether provision for purgatory hath not brought thousands to hell. Debts have not been paid, restitution of evil-gotten lands and goods hath not been made. Christian people, whose necessities we see, to whom whatsoever we do, Christ reputeth done to himself, to whom we are bounden under pain of damnation to do for, as we would be done for ourselves, are neglected and suffered to perish, last wills unfulfilled and broken, God's ordinance set aside, and also for purgatory, foundations have been taken for sufficient satisfaction. So we have trifled away the ordinances of God and restitutions. Thus we have gone to hell with masses, dirges, and ringings of many a bell. And who can pill pilgrimages from idolatry, and purge purgatory from robbery, but he shall be in peril to come in suspicion of heresy with them, so that they may pill with pilgrimage and spoil with purgatory. And verily the abuse of them cannot be taken away, but great lucre and vantage shall fall away from them, which had lifer half profit with abuse, than lack the same with use. And that is the wasp that doth sting them, and maketh them to swell. And if purgatory were purged of all that it hath gotten, by setting aside restitution and robbing of Christ, it would be but a poor purgatory, so poor that it should not be able to feed so fat and trick up so many idle and slothful lovers. I take God to witness, I would hurt no man, but it grieveth me to see such abuse continue without remedy. I cannot understand what they mean by the Pope's pardoning of purgatory, but by way of suffrage. And as for suffrage, unless he do his duty, and seek not his own but Christ's glory, I had lifer have the suffrage of Jack of the Scullery, which in his calling doth exercise both faith and charity, but for his Mass. And that is as good of another simple priest as of him. For as for authority of keys, it is to loose from guiltiness of sin and eternal pain, due to the same according to Christ's word, and not to his own private will. And as for pilgrimage, you would wonder what juggling there is to get money withal. I dwell within half a mile of the Fossway, and you would wonder to see how they come by flocks out of the West Country to many images, but chiefly to the blood of Hales. And they believe verily that it is the very blood that was in Christ's body, shed upon the Mount of Calvary for our salvation, and that the sight of it with their bodily eye doth certify them, and putteth them out of doubt, that they be in clean life, and in state of salvation, without spot of sin, which doth bolden them to do many things. For you would wonder, if you should commune with them, both coming and going, what faiths they have. For as for forgiving their enemies and reconciling their Christian brethren, they cannot away withal, for the sight of that blood doth quiet them for the time. I read in Scripture of two certifications, one to the Romans, we, being justified by faith, have peace with God. If I see the blood of Christ with the eye of my soul, that is true faith, that his blood was shed for me, etc. Another in the Epistle of John, we know that we are translated from death to life because we love the brethren. But I read not that I have peace with God, nor that I am translated from death to life, because I see with my bodily eye the blood of Hales. It is very probable that all the blood that was in the body of Christ was united and knit to his divinity, and then no part thereof shall return to his corruption. And I marvel that Christ shall have two resurrections. And if it were that they did violently and injuriously pluck it out of his body, when they scourged him and nailed him to the cross, did see it with their bodily eye, yet they were not clean in life. And we see the selfsame blood in form of wine when we have consecrated, and may both see it, feel it, and receive it to our damnation, as touching bodily receiving. And many do see it at Hales without confession, as they say, God knoweth all, and the devil in our time is not dead. Christ hath left a doctrine behind him, wherein we be taught how to believe and what to believe. He doth suffer the devil to use his crafty fashion for our trial and probation. It were little thankworthy to believe well and rightly, if nothing should move us to false faith, and to believe superstitiously. It was not in vain that Christ, when he had taught truly, by and by bade beware of false prophets, which would bring in error slyly. But we be secure and uncareful, as though false prophets could not meddle with us, and as though the warning of Christ were no more earnest and effectual than is the warning of mothers when they trifle with their children and bid them beware the the buggy, etc. Lo, sir, how I run at riot beyond measure. When I began, I was minded to have written but half a dozen lines, and thus I forget myself ever when I write to a trusty friend, which will take in worth my folly and keep it from mine enemy, etc. As for Dr. Wilson, I wot not what I should say, but I pray God endue him with charity. Neither he nor none of his countrymen did ever love me, since I did inveigh against their factions and partiality in Cambridge. Before that, who was more favored of him than I? That is the bile that may not be touched, etc. A certain friend showed me that Dr. Wilson is gone now into his country about Beverley in Holderness, and from thence he will go to a progress through Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cheshire, and so from thence to Bristol. What he intended by this progress, God knoweth, and not I. If he come to Bristol, I shall hear tell, etc. As for Huberden, no doubt he is a man of no great learning, nor yet of stable wit. He is here servus hominum, for he will preach whatsoever the bishops will bid him preach. Verily, in my mind, they are more to be blamed than he. He doth magnify the Pope more than enough. As for our Saviour, Christ, and Christian kings, they are little beholden to him. No doubt he did miss the cushion in many things. Howbeit, they that did send him, men think, will defend him. I pray God amend him and them both. They would fain make matter against me, intending so, either to deliver him by me, or else to rid us both together, and so they would think him well bestowed, etc. As touching Dr. Powell, how highly he took upon him in Bristol, and how little regard the sword, which representeth the king's person, many can tell you. I think there is never an earl in this realm that knoweth his obedience by Christ's commandment to his prince, and wotteth that what the sword doth signify, that would have taken upon him so stoutly. Howbeit, Master Mayor, as he is a profound wise man, did twick him prettily. It were too long to write all. Our pilgrimages are not a little beholden to him, for, to occasion the people to tell them, he alleged this text: Whosoever leaveth father, house, wife, etc. By that you may perceive his hot zeal and crooked judgment, etc. Because I am so belied, I could wish that it would please the King's grace to command me to preach before His Highness a whole year together every Sunday, that he himself might perceive how they belie me, saying that I have neither learning nor utterance worthy thereunto, etc. I pray you pardon me, I cannot make an end. A brief digression touching the railing of Huberden against Master Latimer. For as much as mention hath been made in this letter of Huberden, an old divine of Oxford, a right-painted Pharisee, and a great strayer abroad in all quarters of the realm to deface and impeach the springing of God's holy gospel, something would be added more, touching that man, whose doings and pageants, if they may be described at large, it were as good as any interlude for the reader to behold, who in all his life and in all his actions, in one word to describe him, seemeth nothing else but a right image or a counterfeit, setting out unto us in lively colors the pattern of perfect hypocrisy. But because the man is now gone, to spare therefore the dead, although he little deserved to be spared, which never spared to work what villainy he could against the true servants of the Lord, this shall be enough for example's sake, for all Christian men necessarily to observe, how the said Huberden, after his long railing in all places against Luther, Melanchthon, Zwinglius, John Frith, Tyndale, Latimer, and all other like professors, after his hypocritical open alms, given out of other men's purses, his long prayers, pretense devotions, devout fastings, his woolward going, and other his prodigious demeanor, riding in his long gown down to the horse heels like a Pharisee, or rather like a sloven dirted up to the horse belly. After his forged tales and fables, dialogues, dreams, dancings, hoppings, and leapings, with other like histrionical toys and gestures used in the pulpit, and all against heretics. At last, riding by a church side, where the youth of the parish were dancing in the churchyard, suddenly this Silenus, lighting from his horse, by the occasion of their dancing, came into the church, and there causing the bell to toll in the people, thought instead of a fit of mirth to give them a sermon of dancing, in which the sermon, after he had patched up certain common texts out of the scriptures, and then coming to the doctors, first to Augustine, then to Ambrose, so to Jerome and Gregory, Chrysostom and other doctors had made them every one, after his dialogue manner, by name to answer to his call and to sing after his tune for the probation of the sacrament of the altar against John Frith, Zwinglius, Ecolampadius, Luther, Tyndale, Latimer, and other heretics, as he called them, at last to show a perfect harmony of all these doctors together, as he had made them before to sing after his tune, so now to make them dance after his pipe. First he called out Christ and his apostles, then the doctors and ancient seniors of the church, as in a round ring, all to dance together, with "Pipe up, Huberdon!" "Now dance Christ, now dance Peter, Paul, and now dance Augustine, Ambrose, Jerome." And thus old Huberdon, as he was dancing with his doctors lustily in the pulpit against the heretics, how he stamped and took on, I cannot tell, but crash, quoth the pulpit. Down cometh the dancer, and there lay Huberdon, not dancing, but sprawling in the midst of his audience, where altogether he brake not his neck, yet he so brake his leg the same time and bruised his old bones, that he never came into the pulpit more, and died not long after the same. Whereupon, when the church wardens were called, and charged for the pulpit being no stronger, they made answer again, excusing themselves, that they had made the pulpit for preaching and not for dancing, etc. But to spend no more paper about this idle matter, now to our purpose again. Amongst many other impugners and adversaries, whereof there was no small sort which did infest this good man in sermons, some also there were which attempted the pen against him, in the number of whom was one Dr. Sherwood, who, upon the same occasion of preaching of the Virgin Mary, or, as they thought, against the Virgin, did invade him with his pen, writing against him in Latin, whose long epistle, with Master Latimer's answer also in Latin, to the same hereunder followeth. Epistola Guglielmi Sherwoodi adversus Dominum Latimerum expostulatoria. And here follows much Latin for quite a good time, four and a half pages of Latin, which I will now skip over. And we pick up at page 484, in the middle of the page again in English. Besides these Latin letters above expressed, other letters also he wrote in English, as well to others, as namely to Sir Edward Baynton, Knight, which letters, because they do contain much fruitful matter worthy to be read and known, I thought here presently to insert, which, albeit may seem somewhat prolix in reading, yet the fruit thereof, I trust, shall recompense the length of them. A letter sent by Master Latimer, parson of West Kington, in the county of Wiltshire, to Sir Edward Baynton, Knight. Salutem in Christo, right worshipful sir, I recommend me unto your mastership with hearty thanks for your so friendly, so charitable, and so mindful remembrance of me, so poor a wretch. Whereas of late I received your letters by Master Bonham, perceiving therein both who be grieved with me, wherefore, and what behooveth me to do, in case I must needs come up, which your goodness toward me, with all other such like to recompense, whereas I myself am not able, I shall not cease to pray, my Lord God, which both is able, and also doth indeed reward all them that favor the favorers of his truth for his sake. For the truth is a common thing, pertaining to every man, for the which every man shall answer another day, and I desire favor neither of your mastership, neither of any man else, but in truth and for the truth. I take God to witness, which knoweth all. In very deed, Master Chancellor did show me that my Lord Bishop of London had sent letters to him for me, and I made answer that he was my ordinary, and that both he and should reform, and that both he might and should reform me, as far as I needed reformation, as well and as soon as my Lord of London. And I would be very loth now this deep winter, being so weak and so feeble, not only exercised with my disease in my head and side, but also with new, both the colic and the stone, to take such a journey. And though he might so do, yet he needed not, nor he was not bound to do so. Notwithstanding, I said, if he, to do my Lord of London pleasure, to my great displeasure, would needs command me to go, I would obey his commandment, yea, though it should be never so great a grievance and painful to me. With the which answer he was content, saying, he would certify my lord of London thereof, trusting his lordship would be content with the same. But as yet I hear nothing from him. Master Chancellor also said that my lord of London maketh as though he were greatly displeased with me, for that I did contemn his authority at my last being in London. Forsooth, I preached in Ab Church, not certain then, as I remember, who, whether in his diocese or no, intending nothing less than to contemn his authority, and this I did not of mine own suing, or by mine own procuration, but at the request of honest merchantmen, as they seemed to me, whose names I do not know, for they were not of mine acquaintance before, and I am glad thereof for their sakes, lest, if I knew them, I should be compelled to utter them, and so their godly desire to hear godly preaching should return to their trouble. For they required me very instantly, and, to say the truth, even importunately. Whether they were of that parish or no, I was not certain, but they showed not only themselves, but also many others, to be very desirous to hear me, pretending great hunger and thirst of the word of God and ghostly doctrine. And upon consideration, and to avoid all inconveniences, I put them off, and refused them twice or thrice, till at the last they brought me word that the parson and curate were not only content, but also desired me, notwithstanding that they certified him both of my name plainly, and also that I had not the bishop's seal to show for me, but only a license of the university, which curate did receive me, welcomed me, and when I should go into the pulpit, gave me the common benediction, so that I had not been alone uncharitable, but also churlishly uncharitable, if I should have said nay. Now all this supposed to be truth, as it is, I marvel greatly how my lord of London can allege any contempt of him in me. First, he never did inhibit me in my life, and if he did inhibit his curate to receive me, what pertaineth that to me, which neither did know thereof, nor yet made any suit to the curate deceitfully, nor did it appear to me very likely that the curate would have so regarded my lord's inhibition, which be maintaineth so vigilantly, not knowing my lord's mind before. Therefore I conjectured with myself that either the curate was of such acquaintance with my lord that he might admit whom he would, or else, and rather, that it was a train and a trap laid before me, to the intent that my lord himself, or some others pertaining to him, were appointed to have been there, and to have taken me, if they could, in my sermon, which conjecture both occasioned me somewhat to suspect those men which desired me, though they spake never so fair and friendly, and also the rather to go. For I preach nothing, but, if it might be so, I would my lord himself might hear me every sermon I preach. So certain I am that it is truth that I take in hand to preach. If I had with power of my friends, the curate gainsaying and withstanding, presumed to have gone into the pulpit, there had been something wherefore to pretend a contempt. I preached in Kent also, at the instant request of a curate, yet I hear not that his ordinary layeth any contempt to my charge, or yet doth trouble the curate. I marvel not a little how my Lord Bishop of London, having so broad, wide, and large a diocese committed unto his cure, and so peopled as it is, can have leisure for preaching and teaching the word of God. Importune, importune, tempestive, impestive, privatum, publice, to his own flock, instando, arguendo, exhortando, monendo, cum omni, lenitate and doctrina. Have leisure, I say, either to trouble me or to trouble himself with me, so poor a wretch, a stranger to him, and nothing pertaining to his cure, but as every man pertaineth to every man's cure, so intermixing and intermeddling himself with another man's cure, as though he had nothing to do in his own. If I would do as some men say my lord doth, gather up my joyce, as we call it, warily and narrowly, and yet neither preach for it in mine own cure, nor yet otherwhere, peradventure he would nothing deny me. In very deed, I did admonish judges and ordinaries to use charitable equity in their judgments towards such as be accused, namely of the accusers which be as like to hear and bewray, as other be to say amiss, and to take men's words in the meaning thereof, and not to rest them in another sense than they were spoken in, for all such accusers and witnesses be false before God, as St. Jerome saith, upon the 26th chapter of St. Matthew. Nor yet do I account those judges well advised, which wittingly give sentence after such witnesses, much less those which procure such witnesses against any man, nor do I think judges nowadays so deeply confirmed in grace, or so impeccable, but that it may behoove and become preachers to admonish them to do well, as well as other kinds of men, both great and small. And this I did, occasioned of the epistle which declared, Romans 6, wherein is this sentence, Non estis sub lege, sed sub gratia. Ye Christian men that believe in Christ are not under the law. What a saying is this, quoth I, if it be not rightly understood, that is, as St. Paul did understand it. For if the words sound as though he could go about to occasion Christian men to break law, seeing that they be not under the law, and what if the pseudo-apostles, adversaries to St. Paul, would have so taken them, and accused St. Paul of the same of my Lord of London? If my said Lord would have heard St. Paul declare his own mind of his own words, then he should have escaped, and the false apostles have been put to rebuke. But if he would have rigorously followed atsunque allegata et probata, and have given sentence after relation of the accusers, then good St. Paul must have borne a faggot at St. Paul's cross, my Lord of London being his judge. Oh, it had been a godly sight to have seen St. Paul with a faggot on his back, even at Paul's cross, my Lord of London, bishop of the same, sitting under the cross. Nay, verily, I dare say my Lord should soon have burned him, for St. Paul did not mean that Christian men might break the law and do whatsoever they would, because they were not under the law, but he did mean that Christian men might keep the law and fulfill the law if they would, because they were not under the law, but under Christ, by whom they were divided from the tyranny of the law, and above the law, that is to say, able to fulfill the law to the pleasure of him that made the law, which they could never do of their own strength and without Christ, so that to be under the law, after St. Paul's meaning, is to be weak to satisfy the law. And what could St. Paul do withal, through his though his adversaries would not so take it? But my Lord would say, peradventure, that men will not take the preacher's words otherwise than they mean therein. Bona verba, as though St. Paul's words were not otherwise taken, as it appeareth in the third chapter to the Romans, where he saith, and there is a long Latin quotation, that is to say, our unrighteousness commendeth and maketh more excellent the righteousness of God, which soundeth to many as though they should be evil, that good should come of it, and by unrighteousness to make the righteousness of God more excellent. So St. Paul was reported to mean, yet he did mean nothing so, but showed the inestimable wisdom of God, which can use our naughtiness to the manifestation of his unspeakable goodness, not that we should do naughtily to that end and purpose. Now my Lord will not think, I dare say, that St. Paul was to blame that he spake no more circumspectly, more warily, or more plainly, to avoid evil offense of the people, but rather he will blame the people, for that they took no better heed and attendance to Paul's speaking, to the understanding of the same. Yea, he will rather pity the people, which had been so long nursed in the doctrine of the Pharisees, and wallowed so long in the darkness of man's traditions, superstitions, and trade of living, that they were unapt to receive the bright lightness of the church, of the truth, and the wholesome doctrine of God uttered by St. Paul. Nor do I think that my Lord will require more circumspection or more convenience to avoid offense of errors in me than wasn't St. Paul when he did not escape malevolous corrections and slanderous reports of them that were of perverse judgments, which reported him to say whatsoever he appeared to them to say, or whatsoever seemed to them to follow of his saying. But what followeth? And much Latin comes here, and it says, so they report us to say, saith St. Paul, so they speak evil of us. But such, whose damnation is just, saith he, and I think the damnation of all such that evil report preachers nowadays, likewise just, for it is untruth now and then. Yea, Christ himself was misreported and falsely accused, both as touching his words, and also as concerning the meaning of his words. First he said, destruite, that is to say, destroy you. They made it possum destruere, that is to say, I can destroy. He said, templum hoc, this temple. They added manufactum, that is to say, made with hand, to bring it to a contrary sense. So they both inverted his words, and also added unto his words to alter his sentence, for he did mean of the temple of his body, and they wrested it to Solomon's temple. Now I report me, whether it be a just fame raised up and dispersed after this manner. Nay, verily, for there be three manners of persons which can make no credible information. First, adversaries, enemies. Secondly, ignorant and without judgment. Thirdly, cicerones, that is to say, whisperers and blowers in men's ear, which will spew out in hutter mutter more than they dare avow openly. The first will not, the second cannot, the third dare not. Therefore, the relation of such is not credible, and therefore they can make no fame lawful, nor occasion any indifferent judge to make process against any man. And it maketh no little matter what they be themselves that report of any man, whether well or evil, for it is a great commendation to be evil spoken of them that be not themselves, and to be commended of the same is, many times, no little reproach. God send us once all grace to wish well one to another, and to speak well one upon another. Meseemeth it were more comely for my Lord, if it were more comely for me to say so, to be a preacher himself, having so great a cure as he hath, than to be a disquieter and a troubler of preachers, and to preach nothing at all himself, if it would please his lordship to take so great a labor and pain at any time, as to come to preach in my little bishopric at West Kington. Whether I were present or absent myself, I would thank his lordship heartily, and think myself greatly bounden to him, that he of his charitable goodness would go so far to help to discharge me in my cure, or else I were more unnatural than a beast unreasonable, nor yet would I dispute, contend, or demand by what authority, or where he had authority so to do, as long as his predication were fruitful, and so the edification of my parishioners. As for my Lord, he may do as it pleaseth his lordship. I pray God he do always as well as I would wish him ever to do, but I am sure St. Paul, the true minister of God and faithful dispenser of God's mysteries, and right exemplar of all true and very bishops, saith in the first chapter of the Philippians that in this time some preached Christ for envy of him, thinking thereby so to grieve him withal, and as it were to obscure him and to bring his authority into contempt, some of goodwill and love, thinking thereby to comfort him, notwithstanding, saith he, by all manner of ways, and after all fashions, whether it be of occasion or of truth, as ye would say, for truth's sake, so that Christ be preached and showed, I joy and will joy, so much he regarded more than glory of Christ and promotion of Christ's doctrine to the edification of Christian souls and the maintenance of his own authority, reputation, and dignity, considering right well, as he said, that what authority soever he had, it was to edification and not to destruction. Now I think it were no reproach to my Lord, but very commendable, rather to joy with St. Paul, and be glad that Christ be preached, quo vis modo, yea, though it were for envy, that is to say, in disdain, despite, and contempt of his lordship, which thing no man well advised will enterprise or attempt. Then when the preaching cannot be proved justly, to demand of the preacher austerely, as the Pharisees did of Christ. And much Latin follows, which means, as my authority is good enough, and as good as my Lord can give me any, yet I would be glad to have his also, if it would please his lordship to be so good Lord unto me. For the University of Cambridge hath authority apostolic to admit 12 yearly, of the which I am one, and the King's Highness, God save his grace, did decree that all admitted of university should preach throughout all his realm, as long as they preached well, without distrain of any man. My Lord of Canterbury, my Lord of Durham, with such others, not a few, standing by and hearing the decree, nothing gainsaying it, but consenting to the same. Now, to contemn my Lord of London's authority, were no little fault in me, so no less fault might appear in my Lord of London to contemn the King's authority and decree. Yea, so godly, so fruitful, so commendable a decree, pertaining both to the edification of Christian souls, and also to the regard and defense of the popish grace and authority apostolic. To have a book of the King's not inhibited is to obey the King, and to inhibit a preacher of the King's admitted, is it not to disobey the King? Is it not one King that doth inhibit and admit, and hath he not as great authority to admit as to inhibit? He that resisteth the power, whether admitting or inhibiting, doth he not resist the ordinance of God? We low subjects are bound to obey powers and their ordinances, and are not the highest subjects also, who ought to give us example of such obedience? As for my preaching itself, I trust in God, my Lord of London cannot rightfully belack it, nor justly reprove it, if it be taken with the circumstance thereof, and as I spake it, or else it is not my preaching, but his that falsely reporteth it. As the poet Martial said to one that depraved his book, Quem recitas mus est, o fidentine libellus, sed male cum recitas incipit esse tuus. But now I hear say that my Lord of London is informed, and upon the said information hath informed the king, that I go about to defend Bilney and his cause against his ordinaries and his judges, which I assure you is not so. For I had nothing to do with Bilney, nor yet with his judges, except his judges did him wrong, for I did nothing else but monish all judges indifferently to do right. Nor am I altogether so foolish as to defend the thing which I knew not. It might have become a preacher to say, as I said, though Bilney had never been born. I have known Bilney a great while. I think much better than ever did my Lord of London, for I have been his ghostly father many a time. And to tell you the truth, what I have thought always in him, I have known hitherto few such so prompt and ready to do every man good after his power, both friend and foe, noisome wittingly to no man, and towards his enemy so charitable, so seeking to reconcile them as he did. I have known yet not many, and to be short, in some, very simple good soul, nothing fit for meat, or meat for this wretched world, whose blind fashion and miserable state, yea, far from Christ's doctrine, he could as evil bear, and sorrow lament and bewail it, as much as any man that I ever knew. As for his singular learning, as well in Holy Scripture as in all other good letters, I will not speak of it. Notwithstanding, if he either now of late, or at any time, attempted anything contrary to the obedience which a Christian man doth owe either to his prince or to his bishop, I neither do nor will allow and approve that, neither in him, nor yet in any other man. We be all men, and ready to fall. Wherefore, he that standeth, let him where he fall not. How he ordered or misordered himself in judgment, I cannot tell, nor will I meddle with all. God knoweth, whose judgments I will not judge. But I cannot but wonder, if a man living so mercifully, so charitably, so patiently, so contentedly, so studiously and virtuously, and killing his old Adam, that is to say, mortifying his evil affections and blind emotions of his heart so diligently, should die an evil death, there is no more, but let him that standeth be beware that he fall not. For if such as he shall die evil, what shall become of me, such a wretch as I am? But let this go, as little to the purpose, and come to the point we must rest upon. Either my Lord of London will judge my outward man only, as it is said, and Latin follows, omnes vident quae foris sunt, or else he will be my God and judge mine inward man, as it is said, Deus autem intuitur cor. If he will have to do only with mine outward man, and meddle with mine outward conversation, how that I have ordered myself toward my Christian brethren, the king's liege people, I trust I shall please and content both my Lord God and also my Lord of London, for I have preached and teached but according to Holy Scripture, holy fathers, and ancient interpreters of the same. With the which, I think my Lord of London will be pacified, for I have done nothing else in my preaching, but with all diligence moved my auditors to faith and charity, to do their duty, and that is necessary to be done. As for things of private devotion, mean things and voluntary things, I have reproved the abuse, the superstition of them, without condemnation of the things themselves, as it becometh preachers to do, which thing, if my Lord of London will do himself, as I would to God he would do, he should be reported, no doubt, to condemn the use of such things, of covetous men, which have damage, and find less in their boxes by condemnation of the abuse, which abuse they had rather should continue still, than their profit should not continue, so thorny be their hearts. If my Lord will needs coast and invade my inward man, nil I, and break violently into my heart, I fear me I shall either displease my Lord of London, which I would be very loth, or else my Lord God, which I would be more loth. not for any infidelity, but for ignorance, for I believe as a Christian man ought to believe. But peradventure my Lord knoweth, and I will know many things, certainly, perchance, I am an ignorant in. With the which ignorance, though my Lord of London may, if he will, be discontent, yet I trust my Lord God will pardon it, as long as I hurt no man withal, and say to him, with diligent study and daily prayer, Paratum cor meum, Deus paratum cor meum, so studying, preaching, and carrying the pleasure and leisure of God, and in the mean season, Acts 8, as Apollos did, when he knew nothing of Christ, but baptismum Johannes, teach and preach mine even christened, that and no further than I know to be true. There be three creeds, one in my Mass, another in my Matins, the third common to them, that neither say Mass nor Matins, nor yet know what they say, when they say the creed, and I believe all three, with all that God hath left in holy writ, for me and all others to believe. Yet I am ignorant in things which I trust hereafter to know, as I do now know things in which I have been ignorant heretofore, ever to learn and ever to be learned, to be learned, to profit with learning, with ignorance, not to annoy. I have thought in times past that the Pope, Christ's vicar, had been Lord of all the world as Christ is, so that if he should have deprived the king of his crown, or you of the lordship of Bramaham, it had been enough, for he could do no wrong. Now I might be hired to think otherwise, notwithstanding I have both seen and heard Scripture drawn to that purpose. I have thought in times past that the Pope's dispensations of pluralities of benefices and absence from the same had discharged consequences before God, consciences before God, forasmuch as I had heard Ecce vobiscum sum, and qui vos audit me audit, bended to corroborate the same. Now I might be easily entreated to think otherwise, etc. I have thought in times past that the Pope could have spoiled purgatory at his pleasure with a word of his mouth. Now learning might persuade me otherwise, or else I would marvel why he would suffer so much money to be stowed that way, which so needful is to be bestowed otherwise, and to deprive us of so many patrons in heaven, as he might deliver out of purgatory, etc. I have thought in times past that, and I had been a friar in a cowl, I would not have been damned, nor afraid of death, and by occasion of the same, I have been minded many times to have been a friar, namely, when I was sore sick and diseased. Now I abhor my superstitious foolishness, etc. I have thought in times past that diverse images of saints could have holpen me, and done me much good, and delivered me of my diseases. Now I know that one can help as much as another, and it pitieth mine heart, that my Lord, and such as my Lord is, can suffer the people to be so craftily deceived. It were too long to tell you what blindness I have been in, and how long it were, or I could forsake such folly, it was so corporate in me, but by continual prayer, continual study of Scripture, and oft communing with men of more right judgment, God hath delivered me, etc. Yea, men think that my Lord himself hath thought in times past, that by God's law a man might marry his brother's wife, which now both dare think and say contrary, and yet this is his boldness, might have chanced. In Pope Julius' days, to stond him either in a fire or else in a faggot, which thing deeply considered and pondered of my Lord might something stir him to charitable equity, and to be something remissible toward men, which labor to do good as their power serveth with knowledge, and do hurt to no man with their ignorance, for there is no greater distance than between God's law and not God's law. Nor is it so or so, because any man thinketh it so or so, but because it is so or so indeed. Therefore we must think it so or so, when God shall give us knowledge thereof. For if it be indeed either so or not, it is so or not so, though all the world had thought otherwise 3,000 years, etc. And finally, as ye say, matter is weighty, and ought substantially to be looked upon, even as weighty as my life is worth. But how to look substantially upon it, otherwise, know not I, than to pray my Lord God day and night, that as he hath emboldened me to preach his truth, so he will strengthen me to suffer for it, to the edification of them which have taken, by the working of him, fruit. Working of him fruit thereby, and even so I desire you, and all other that favor me for his sake, likewise to pray, for it is not I, without his mighty helping hand, that can abide that brunt. But I have trust that God will help me in time of need, which, if I had not, the ocean sea, I think, should have divided my Lord of London and me by this day. For it is a rare thing for a preacher to have favor at his hand, which is no preacher himself, and yet ought to be. I pray God that both he and I may both discharge ourselves, he in his great cure, and I in my little, to God's pleasure and safety of our souls. Amen. I pray you pardon me that I write no more distinctly, no more truly, for my head is so out of frame that it would be too painful me to write it again. And if I be not prevented, shortly I intend to make merry with my parishioners this Christmas, for all the sorrow, lest perchance I never return to them again. And I have heard say that a doe is as good in winter as a buck in summer. A letter of Sir Edward Baynton, Knight, answering to the letter of Master Latimer, sent to him before. Master Latimer, after hearty recommendations, I have communicated the effect of your letters to divers of my friends, such as for Christian charity, as they say, rather desire you in you a reformation, either in your opinion, if it swerve from the truth, or at the least in your manner and behavior, inasmuch as it giveth occasion of slander and trouble, in let of your good purposes, than any other inconvenience to your person or good name. And for as much as your said letters mislike them, in some part, and that I have such confidence in your Christian breast, as in my judgment, ye will conformably and gladly both hear what may be reformed in you, and also, as it is worthy, so acknowledge and confess the same. I have therefore desired them to take the pains to note their minds in this letter, which I send to you, as aggregate of their sayings, and send from me your assured friend and favorer, in that is the very truth of God, of God's word, wherein, nevertheless, as I trust ye yourself, will temper your own judgment, and in a soberness affirm no truth of yourself, which should divide the unity of the congregation in Christ, and the received truth agreed upon by holy fathers of the church, consonant to the scripture of God, even so whatsoever ye will do therein, as I think ye will not otherwise than ye should do, I, being unlearned, and not of the knowledge to give sentence in this altercation and contention, must rather of good congruence show myself, in that you disagree with them, readier to follow their doctrine and truth, than yours, unless it may please Almighty God to inspire and confirm the heart of such people to testify the same in some honest number, as ought to induce me to give credence unto them. Only God knoweth the certain truth, which is communicated to us, as our capacity may comprehend it by faith, but that is per speculum in enigmate, and there have been, qui zelum Dei haberunt, sed non secundum, scientium, among which I repute not you, but to this purpose I write it, that to call this or that truth, it requireth a deep and profound knowledge, considering that to me, unlearned, that I take for truth may be otherwise, not having sensus excitatos, as St. Paul saith, ad discernendum bonum et malum. And it is showed me that an opinion or manner of teaching which causeth dissension in a Christian congregation is not of God, by the doctrine of St. John in his epistle, where he saith, omnis qui confitetur Christum incarne, etc., ex Deo es. And like the word of God, and like as the word of God hath always caused dissension among men unchristened, whereupon hath ensued and followed martyrdom to the preacher, so in Christ's congregation, among them that profess Christ's name, in uno dominum uno baptismate et una fide, they that preach and stir rather contention than charity, though they can defend their saying, yet their teaching is not to be taken as of God, in that it breaketh the chain of Christian charity, and maketh division in the people, congregate, and called by God, into a unity of faith and baptism. But for this point I would pray to God, that not only in the truth may be agreement, but also such soberness and uniform behavior used in teaching and preaching, as men may wholly express, as they may, the charity of God, tending only to the union and love of us all, to the profit and salvation of our souls. The answer of Master Latimer to the letter of Sir Edward Baynton, above prefixed. Right worshipful sir, and my singular good master, salutem in Christo Jesu, with due commendation, and also thanks for your great goodness towards me, etc. And whereas you have communicated my last letters to certain of your friends, which rather desire this or that in me, etc., what I think therein I will not now say, not for that there could be any peril or danger in the said letters, well taken, as far as I can judge, but for that they were rashly and undivisedly scribbled, as ye might well know, both by my excuse, and by themselves also, though none excuse had been made. And besides that, ye know right well that where the bee gathereth honey, even there the spinner gathereth venom, not for diversity of the flower, but for diverse natures in them that suck the flower, as in times past, and in the beginning, the very truth, and one thing in itself, was to some offense, to some foolishness, to others otherwise disposed, the wisdom of God. Such diversity was in the redress of hearers thereof. But this notwithstanding, there is no more, but either my writing is good or bad. If it be good, the communicating thereof to your friends cannot be hurtful to me. If it be otherwise, why should you not communicate it to them, which both could and would instruct you in the truth, and reform my error? Let this pass, I will not contend, had I wist cometh ever out of season. Truly, I were not well advised, if I would not either be glad of your instruction, or yet refuse mine own reformation. But yet it is good for a man to look, or he leap. And God forbid that ye should be an addict and sworn to me so wretched a fool, that you should not follow the doctrine of your friends in truth, so great learned men as they appear to be, than the opinions of me, having never so Christian a breast. Wherefore, do as you will, for as I would not, if I could, so I cannot, if I would, be noisome unto you. But yet I say, I would my letters had been unwritten, for none other cause, at least way, inasmuch as they cause me to more writing, an occupation nothing meet for my mad head. And as touching the points, which in my forsakers mislike your friends, I have now little leisure to make answer thereto, for the great business that I have in my little cure, I know not what other men have in their great cures. Seeing that I am alone, without any priest to serve my cure, without my scholar to read unto me, without any book necessary to be looked upon, without learned men to come and counsel with, all which things other have at hand abundantly. But something must be done, howsoever it be. I pray you take it in good worth, as long as I temper mine own judgment, affirming nothing with prejudice of better. For mislike, that I say I am sure that I preach the truth, saying in reproof of the same, that God knoweth certain truth. Indeed, alonely God knoweth all certain truth, and alonely God knoweth it as of himself, and none knoweth certain truth but God, and those which be taught of God, as saith St. Paul, Deus enim illis petefecit, and Christ himself, erunt omnes docti ad Deo. And your friends deny not but that certain truth is communicated to us, our capacity may comprehend it by faith, which if it be truth, as it is, then there ought no more to be required of any man, but according to his capacity. Now certain it is that every man hath not like capacity, etc. But as to my presumption and arrogancy, either I am certain or uncertain that it is truth that I preach. If it be truth, why may not I say so, to courage my hearers to receive the same more ardently, and ensue it more studiously? If I be uncertain, why dare I be so bold to preach it? And if your friends, in whom ye trust so greatly, be preachers themselves, after their sermon, I pray you ask them whether they be certain and sure that they taught you the truth or no, and send me word what they say, that I may learn to speak after them. If they say they be sure, ye know not what followeth. Ye know what followeth. If ye say they be unsure, when shall you be sure that have so doubtful teachers and unsure? And you yourselves, whether you are certain or uncertain that Christ is your Savior, and so forth of other articles that ye be bounden to believe, or whether be ye sure or unsure that civil ordinances be the works of God, and that you do God service in doing them, if ye do them for good intent? If ye be uncertain, take heed, he be your sure friend that heareth you say so, and then, with what conscience do ye doubt? Cum quicquid non est ex fide, peccatum est. But contrary, say you, alonely, God knoweth certain truth, and ye have it but per speculum and enigmate. And there have been quis elem dei haberunt, sed non secundum scientium. And to call this or that truth, it requireth a deep knowledge, considering that to you unlearned, that you take for truth, may be otherwise, not having sensus exercitatos, as Paul saith, ad discernendum bonum et malum, as yet reason against me, and so you do best to know surely nothing for truth at all, but to wander meekly hither and thither, omnivento doctrinae, etc. Our knowledge here, you say, is but per speculum in enigmate. What then? Ergo, it is not certain and sure. I deny your argument by your leave. Yea, if it be by faith, as ye say, it is much sure, because the certainty of faith is the most surest certainty. As Duns and other scholars, school scholars, say, that there is great discrepancy between certain knowledge and clear knowledge, for that may be of things absent that appear not, this requireth the presence of the object, I mean the thing known, so that I certainly and surely know the thing which I perfectly believe, though I do not clearly and evidently know it. I know your school subtleties as well as you, which dispute as though enigmatical knowledge, that is to say, dark and obscure knowledge, might not be certain and sure knowledge, because it is not clear, manifest, and evident knowledge. And yet there have been, say they, which have had a zeal, but not after knowledge. True it is, there have been such, and yet be too many, to the great hindrance of Christ's glory, which nothing doth more obscure than a hot zeal accompanied with great authority without right judgment. There have been also which have had knowledge without any zeal of God. Who, holding the verity of God in unrighteousness, shall be beaten with many stripes, while they, knowing the will of God, do nothing thereafter. I mean not among Turks and Saracens, that be unchristened, but of them that be christened. And there have been also that have lost the spiritual knowledge of God's word which they had before, because they have not ensued after it, nor promoted the same, but rather with their mother wits have impugned the wisdom of the Father, and hindered the knowledge thereof, which therefore hath been taken away from them. Ut justificetur Christus in sermonis suis et vincat cum judicatur, threatening to him that hath not, that also which he hath, that is, that which he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him, because to abuse that which a man hath, or not to use it well, is as not to have it, and also seeing it is true that God's wisdom will not dwell in a body subject to sin, albeit it abound in a carnal wisdom too much, for the mere carnal and philosophical understanding of God's scriptures is not the wisdom of God, which is hid from the wise, and is revealed to little ones. And if to call this or that truth requireth a deep and profound knowledge, then either every man hath a deep and profound knowledge, or else no man can call this or that truth. And it behooveth every preacher to have so deep and profound knowledge that he may call this or that truth, which this or that he taketh in hand to preach for the truth, and yet he may be ignorant and uncertain in many things, both this and that, as Apollos was, but which things, whether this or that, he will not attempt to preach for the truth. And as for myself, I trust in God, I have sensus exercitatos ad discernendendum bonum et malum, i.e. my senses well enough exercised to discern good and evil in those things, which, being without deep and profound knowledge in many things, I preach not. Yea, there be many things in Scripture which I cannot certainly discern, bonum et malum, I mean verum et falsum, not with all that exercise that I have in Scripture, nor yet with help of all interpreters that I have to content myself, and others in all scrupulosity that may arise. But in such I am wont to wade no further into the stream, than that I may either go over or else return back again, having ever respect, not to the ostentation of my little wit, but to the edification of them that hear me, as far forth as I can, neither passing mine own, nor yet their capacity. And such manner of argumentations might well serve the devil, contra pusillanimes, to occasion them to wander and waver in the faith, and to be uncertain in things in which they ought to be certain, or else it may appear to make and serve against such preachers, which will define great subtleties and high matters in the pulpit, which no man can be certain, and shove by God's word to be truth, no ne sensus quidem habens ad discernendum bonum et malum exercitatissimos, and whether, if Adam had not sinned, we should have stockfish out of Iceland. How many larks for a penny if every star in the elements were a flickering hobby? How many years a man shall lie in purgatory for one sin, if he buy not plenty of the oil that runneth over our lamps to slake the sin withal, and so forget hell, which cannot be slaked, to provide for purgatory? Such argumentation, I say, might appear to make well against such preachers, not against me, which simply and plainly utter true faith and fruits of the same, which be the good works of God, which he hath prepared for us to walk in, every man to do the things that pertaineth to his office and duty and his degree and calling, as the word of God appointeth, which thing a man may do with soberness, having sensus ad discernendum, bonum et malum, vel mediocriter exercitatos. For it is but foolish humility, willingly to continue always an infant still in Christ, and in infirmity, in reproof of which it was said, facti estis opus habentes, lacte non solido cibo. For Paul saith not, estote humiles, ut non capiatis. For though he would not that we should think arrogantly of ourselves, and above that, that it becometh us to think of ourselves, but so to think of ourselves, ut simis sobriae ac modestae, yet he biddeth us so to think of ourselves, as God hath distributed to every one the measure of faith. For he that may not with meekness think in himself what God hath done for him, and of himself as God hath done for him, how shall he, or when shall he, give due thanks to God for his gifts? And if your friends will not allow the same, I pray you inquire of them whether they may, cum sobriate et modestia, be sure they preach to you the truth, and whether we may, cum sobrietate et modestia, follow St. Paul's bidding, where he saith unto us all, be not children in understanding, but in maliciousness be infants. God give us all grace to keep the mean, and to think of ourselves neither too high nor too low, but so that we may restore unto him, qui peregre profectus est, his gifts again, cum usura, that is to say, with good use of the same, so that edificimus in visem, with the same, ad gloriam Dei. Amen. For my life, I trust in God that I neither have, neither by God's grace shall I, neither in soberness, nor yet in drunkenness, affirm any truth of myself, therewith intending to divide that unity of the congregation of Christ, and the received truth agreed upon by the holy fathers of the church consonant to the scripture of God, though it be showed you never so often that an opinion or manner of teaching which causes dissension in a Christian congregation is not of God, by the doctrine of St. John in his epistle, where he saith, every one that confesseth Christ in the flesh is of God. First, not everything whereupon followeth dissension causeth dissension, as I would that they that showed you that would also show you whether this opinion, that a man may not marry his brother's wife, be of God or of men. If it be of men, then, as Gamaliel said, solvitur. If it be of God, as I think it is, and perchance your friends also, who can dissolve it, but shall seem to repugn against God? And yet there be many, not heathens, but in Christendom, that dissent from the same, which could bear full evil to hear said unto them, vos ex patre diabolo estis, so that such an opinion might seem to make a dissension in a Christian congregation, saving that they may say, perchance, with more liberty than others, that an occasion is sometimes taken and not given, which, with their favor, I might abuse for my defense, saying that, non omnis omnibus licet in hac temporum iniquitate. The Galatians, having for preachers and teachers the false apostles, by whose teaching they were degenerate from the sweet liberty of the gospel into the sour bond of ceremonies, thought themselves peradventure a Christian congregation, when St. Paul did write his epistle unto them, and were in a quiet trade under the dominion of masterly curates, so that the false apostles might have objected to St. Paul that his apostleship was not of God, forasmuch as there was dissension in a Christian congregation by occasion thereof, while some would renew their opinions by occasion of the epistle, Some would, openari, as they were wont to do, follow their great lords and masters, the false apostles, which were not heathen and unchristened, but christened, and high prelates of the professors of Christ. For your friends, I know right well what Erasmus hath said in an epistle set before the paraphrases of the first epistle to the Corinthians, which Erasmus hath caused no small dissension with his pen in a Christian congregation, inasmuch as many have dissented from him, not alonely in cloisters, men more than christened men, of high perfection, but also at St. Paul's Cross and St. Mary's Spital, besides many that with no small zeal have written against him, but not without answer.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.